to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Spech.
Hello.
How's it going, Derek?
Going fantastic.
Good Lord, we do more yapping before the show starts.
Took 2 hours just to get started recording.
Oh, good Lord. I'm tired now, so thanks for listening.
I need a nap.
I need a nap now. Oy vey. How are things going?
Good, except for our previous conversation.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that
the bad luck is spreading.
The bird of disparadise is spreading to people other than me. It's no offense, but it's nice not to be me. But
yeah, Mike, for everybody's edification, I've had some issues with the car because it's getting older, but 2 days ago, now this is a minor thing, but my heated seat stopped working, so. Starting today, my car won't get out of limp mode, and so I can't get the RPMs up, so it takes forever to get up to speed.
And so, sounds familiar.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I have the same problem. I don't think I have engine failure, because when it's in park, I can rev the engine, and it's nice and normal.
Mm-hmm.
But what's weird is that before limp mode came on, I had an exhaust leak, and now the exhaust leak is fixed. So it makes me think that 3 of the 6 cylinders are in limp mode, are just not firing. So no more exhaust leak because those cylinders aren't working.
Are you still able to get from point A to point B?
Yes.
Well, there you go. You didn't need those 3 cylinders anyway. You're saving. It's like the gas you're saving.
So it gives me a feedback on fuel consumption. My fuel consumption is down.
See?
It's lower than normal. It's like, hey.
I don't know what you're complaining about.
I'm saving gas. I can push the gas pedal as hard as I want. It's not going to do anything. So
winner, chicken dinner. I don't know what you're complaining about.
The problem is like you expect it to have that jump of horsepower there if you're in traffic and you need to get around somebody. But nope.
Just get yourself a gray beard, gray mustache, gray hair, and one of those little funky ball caps things, and just go around like an old guy. And they'll think nothing of it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, just not
so
an old
honk
guy.
At you, flip you the bird, and the stupid old man.
So now I have to plan. My car's going into the shop on Friday, and we'll...
Did I tell you our dishwasher blew up?
The hits keep hitting.
The hits just keep on coming, baby. I can't wait till 2025 ends.
Yeah.
Because this is just getting ridiculous now.
Yeah, it's a little silly. I don't know how much this is going to cost. It's a great time of year for it to, you know, spend extra money.
Isn't it, though? I'm just hemorrhaging money here, baby. Trucks and vet bills and mortgages and...
You're lucky you bought your new canoe when you did, or else...
I wouldn't have a new canoe. Table. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at all these things I bought because I had the money sitting there.
Yeah.
It's end of year, sales are on. I'm going to spend some money.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just stop that real then.
Yeah, I know.
Oy vey.
Oy. Anyways.
Good times.
Yes.
Good times.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're not going to rehash this stuff because we just spent 2 hours.
We just spent 2 hours talking about it.
Yeah. So other than that, things are good?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Things are good.
Get ready for Christmas.
We're getting ready for Christmas. Unfortunately, I think the snow's going to be gone by then because it's going to warm up. What, Friday? It's going to be +6.
Good. Because then maybe I can wash my truck and it'll still stay shiny. It's been shiny for one day.
Yeah.
And it's been crap weather.
It's winter. You can't expect it to be clean.
Yes, I can. I think I'm going to invest in one of those car wash cards.
Oh.
Like it's a preloaded car. You get 7 car washes. So you just walk up, you punch in your code or whatever.
You're just going to attract attention to your shiny truck if it's shiny. Let it be dirty and people will ignore you.
I've been trying to get a good picture of it.
You don't want people stealing it either.
Maybe I do. I got replacement insurance.
Yes.
To all the thieves out there, please, steal it now before it gets much older.
Before I get attached.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. That's. Yeah. You know what? I'm starting to learn some of the new functions on it. And yeah, I'm still in the same mindset. There's some cool things on it, but there's a lot of useless crap on that thing. Yeah, like. And it's not just this. It's all. I talk to other people with GMCs and Rams and all
so
that.
And
they're
new.
Going, oh, yeah, there's all this crap on mine that I never use. I've had this thing 5 years, never used it. But there's some pretty cool things I'm finding out about the lights. And and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah. As long as it uses my old snow tires for my old truck and all my old roof racks, and I don't need to spend that much. And I've got a hard tunnel cover on it now.
There you go.
Got the tunnel cover put on, so it's, and all that locks. And unlike my old one, when I press my little boot, boot, it locks my tailgate as well.
Perfect.
So everything's all locked up.
So nobody's going to steal your tailgate.
And nobody's going to steal the bodies in the back of my truck. So hopefully no one steals the tailgate on this one.
Yeah.
So, other than that, things are just excellent. Peachy.
Yeah.
We're waiting for Christmas to happen, and we got lots of fun and exciting things happening. And, it's going to be busy, busy, busy. Not a ton of time off this year, just because of the way everything falls.
Yeah.
Right? But, And the Friday is the 2nd of January, right?
I don't know. Is it?
Yeah, because it's like Thursday.
Isn't it Wednesday?
No, I think it's
Wednesday and Wednesday. Christmas is Wednesday and New Year's is Wednesday.
No.
I don't know. I haven't even looked at the calendar.
New Year's is on a Thursday. Christmas is on a Thursday.
Oh, there we go.
So I have one holiday day left.
Mm-hmm.
And if I take it on the 2nd to give me a 4-day weekend, no, that counts as next year's holidays.
Oh.
You got to be kidding. So
you can't use this year's vacation next year?
No, they don't like you to.
Hmm.
I understand why, because then everybody's just going to pool all their vacations.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be like me and take 3 weeks off and go to Japan. I ruined that for
you. You're the reason.
You know what, though? Like, when I took a month off. Is that 2013? I think it was. I went in, my boss said, can I take a month off? And he looked at me like, what is wrong with you? And I did the 3 weeks up in Woodland Caribou.
Yeah.
Did all that time up there. And then said, well, I can't take, a few weeks and go with buddies paddling and not do stuff. So then I came home. I had like 2 days, and then we did a family trip.
Yeah.
And got back, and people were looking at me like, do you still work here? I thought you got fired or quit or something.
I haven't seen you so long.
No, I've spent the last month canoeing all over the place. So, and now I take 3 weeks off and go to Japan. And I started something. And another guy took 3 weeks off, and they went through Europe this year. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right? So, I started something.
Yeah.
I'm sure my boss isn't happy. I don't care.
Yeah.
Follow me, people. We're going on 3 week long trips everywhere. It's groovy.
Yeah, I got trips starting to be planned for next year, and I have to be careful because things are starting to form up, and it's like, whoa. I got to watch how much vacation I have.
Right? Hey, Derek, you don't have 6 months.
Because this year, I didn't do much this year, so I'm actually carrying over 2 weeks of vacation.
Oh, and they let you carry over?
Well, I can carry over 10 days. So I'm trying to use up those 4 days of the, of the 14 that I have. So I'll take some time off of Christmas. But yeah, it's like a buddy of mine, he just bought himself a new enduro bike, and now he wants me to buy one and used one. And we want to go up to like Goose Bay, up in Labrador and stuff, find some dirt roads.
Yeah. Have you ever driven your bike across the country?
No.
Why not? Would you do that? If I had a touring bike, and I say I'm driving from here to Calgary and back.
No.
Why?
It's all straight road. There's no entertainment value.
You can have a snooze as you're driving. What more do you need?
I would drive through Northern Ontario for 3 weeks. I'd do that.
But you wouldn't. You do realize, like, not the entire trip is flat straight road, right?
I've done it. I've been across Canada in a car. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five trips.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Amateur. You wouldn't go across.
But not on a bike.
I would.
It's just so straight. I've talked to people who've done it, and they said it gets really boring. It's like you definitely have to have comms, because like it's such a long drive and it's just straight road. You get through
what route you go,
Saskatchewan and stuff. It's like, I guess you could take some off routes, head up northern Saskatchewan. And
at one point, we went through the states.
What?
We went through the states as well.
Yeah.
Dip just below the border.
You could do that. Yeah.
Nice. You gotta think outside the box. Okay, I'm not buying a bike now. you know what? You do it with the car, you do it with the canoe on the roof like we did, and you can stop
absolutely
every day.
I do 100% do
and
that.
And hit different spots paddling too. Yeah. So
I would be personally responsible for spreading zebra mussels all across Canada.
Right? I'd bring an extra box of them just because. A bit of a all over the place show this week.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks it's been kind of themed.
Yeah, well, this one isn't.
Yeah.
This one's just paddling themed, sort of. Okay, so the way they talked about this thing.
And they had it wrong a couple times, and it's like, what are you guys trying to say?
No, I'm not worried about that part. I'm worrying about the fingerprint part.
Oh, that part. Yeah.
So, a fingerprint discovered on the wrecked remains of Denmark's ancient Jortspring boat have helped unravel the long-standing mystery behind the Scandinavian plank canoe's origin.
So, I've read this story.
What, they go back and they found his fingerprint?
That doesn't resolve anything.
Well, I'm wondering.
Did they say, oh, people with this fingerprint are from Denmark? It's like they don't explain that part.
They don't, which throws a...
All you know is that this guy was shoving stuff into cracks on an old boat, and his fingerprint has been there for 2,400 years.
So do you have a criminal record? They can look it up? Because he was fingerprinted?
Let's see what else he's been... Other crimes he's been involved with.
2,400 years ago, yes. The wrecked site of the boat thought to have carried 20 passengers was first discovered on the Danish Isle of Als, first excavated in the early 20th century.
Yeah, 1920s or something they first found it.
Archaeologists believe it likely belonged to warriors who attacked the island and were defeated. But where those people came from remains unknown until now. Several theories have been proposed about the boat's origins over the past 100 years, with some suggesting its crew likely came from northern Germany or another part of modern-day Denmark. In a new study, researchers analyzed previously unstudied caulking and cord materials found with the boat, as well as a partial fingerprint. Dun, dun, dun.
But this next sentence.
Which points to the 2,400-year-old boat's likely area of origin.
How do you get that from a fingerprint?
Okay, I can see the caulking and cord materials.
Yeah.
Because they get into
absolutely
that. But the fingerprint. What does the fingerprint have to do with the price of beans in Denmark?
I think they're so excited that they found a 2,400-year-old fingerprint that they just want to mention as many times as possible.
I think that was Jim. I recognize Jim's fingerprint.
But I think they're just really excited about the fingerprint.
They're
bringing it up every chance they get.
Our scientific analysis of the boat's caulking material gives us the first major new clue in over a century, researchers wrote. Fingerprints like this one are extremely unusual for this time period. It is great to have found a direct connection with one of the people who used this ancient boat. Hey, Jim, found your fingerprint, buddy. I fully understand the whole materials bit.
Yeah.
But the fingerprint leaves me a bit...
They're really hooked on this fingerprint.
Yeah. Did people not use their hands from different parts of the world to do this? And that's why they know that because there's a fingerprint, somebody used their hand.
This proves that we had fingerprints a long time ago.
Right? Fingerprints aren't a new thing.
It's not new technology.
Apparently. Later analysis revealed that the caulk was made up of mainly animal fat and pine pitch. Since Denmark did not have any significant pine forests cover during this time, scientists suspect one of the coastal areas along the Baltic Sea to the east, which had pine forests, may have been the origin site of the boat and said owner of fingerprint. If this were the case, the boat would likely have traveled a long distance over the open ocean to reach the Isle of Als, suggesting that the attack was organized and premeditated.
They're Assuming a lot.
Damn you, Jim.
They're assuming so much.
Right. The boat was waterproof with pitch from pine trees, which were rare in both Denmark and northern Germany during the first millennium BC. We argue that this means the boat and its crew most likely came from further east along the shores of the Baltic Sea, where pine forests were more abundant. New materials found on the boat were dated between the 4th or 3rd century BC, in line with previous datings of wood from the Jort Spring site. Scientists also found a partial human finger. Oh, here we go again. Human fingerprint and part of the caulking material, which they suspect could have been left by one of the crew members.
Oh, so they're saying it's a different fingerprint. Now we have two individuals.
I don't know.
No, they just said it's one of the crew members.
Right?
One was a builder, one was a crew member.
Maybe the crew member was a builder.
Maybe. But they seem to indicate here that it's a different fingerprint. One.
This likely provides a direct link to the seafarers of the ancient vessel, researchers say. A new analysis of Scandinavia's oldest plank boat brings us a step closer to solving the 100-year-old mystery of the ancient boat's origins. Using cutting-edge scientific methods, researchers have zeroed in on the Baltic Sea region as the most likely source of the circa 2,400-year-old boat, while also discovering a fingerprint left by an ancient seafarer in the tar used to waterproof the vessel.
So now that's three individual fingerprints.
The latest findings bolster the belief that the boat was used by people with fingerprints. Used by a small army of invaders who attacked the island of Als in southern Denmark over 2,000 years ago. The invaders were defeated, and the local defenders sunk the boat into a bog as an offering to give thanks for their victory. Ever since the boat was excavated from the bog in the early 1920s, the question of where the invaders came from has been an open mystery.
And it has nothing to do with the fingerprints. It all comes down to where they found the pine tar and the sap.
If no one else in the Baltic region had fingerprints,
except for these three guys,
then you know. You can narrow it down
to
Jim, Jim, and Jim.
They were really reaching for
happy that they found the fingerprint.
These
and
fingerprints.
They could now analyze. I guess they've got the tools now to analyze the caulking and some of the materials and stuff. And when you can say, oh, there's animal fat and pine pitch in this, and these areas don't have these materials, then we got to go at least farther
where we know that
south
they
or east.
Routinely used in that era.
Right. So it changes the area. Changes the narrative of where this came from.
But the
fingerprint.
I know. The use of the term canoe, that's like saying, the Vikings used canoes too when they crossed the ocean.
Well, this thing is shorter.
It is shorter.
Shallower.
It is lapped.
It's shallower. I would call it a canoe.
The boards are lapped what's neat is when you find the picture of it online, it's all the wood is mostly destroyed, eroded. Mm-hmm. And so when they put it back together, it's in this framework of metal tubes and pipes to hold its form of what they estimate what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. You see the form, but it's like a partial skeletal remains of a large canoe type boat.
If you look at an old Viking ship, and you cut the top half off.
Exactly.
That's what you're looking at.
This is very shallow.
It's like the bottom of the hull of a Viking ship.
You wouldn't want to be in rough water.
No,
it's not.
But if you got 20 guys in there all paddling, which brings me to my next topic, sort of as a joiner of this topic, is nothing to do with fingerprints.
Good.
Telling you that right now.
I want to leave the fingerprint narrative.
No fingerprints were harmed in the making of this episode.
Yeah, they really worked on that fingerprint.
I don't.
Yeah.
Apparently, Jim, the boat builder, worked on that fingerprint, too. Speaking of big canoes, so I'm thinking, because it had to be a typo. They said 80 people fit in this boat.
Yeah.
To which I replied to you, where the heck are 80 people? Do they pile them up?
Are they gnomes?
Were they gnomes, smurfs, or something like that? Or were they sitting on each other's shoulders? Were some of them water skiing?
Did they stack them like firewood?
Right? Yeah, yeah. And then you're looking at like, that big. Because when you start doing research on the Jort Spring boat, they're all saying 20. So it had to be a typo.
So it is long. It's a 65-foot boat.
It is a 65-foot boat, yes. So I started looking at other boats. What are the big boats out there, the big paddling boats? The dragon boat. Dragon boats are 9 meters or 30 feet, for a 10-person, or 12.2 meters, 42 feet for a 20-person.
Yeah.
So that's a good size
42
boat.
42 foot, 20 people, yeah.
Yeah, yep. So 20 people. So, yeah, so that's, you know, that's, if you're looking at a dragon boat, 20 people.
Yep.
Right?
And you're stacked pretty tight in the dragon boat.
Right? Bit bigger than that, the Montreal canoe, which we all, you know, we'll call them Voyageur canoes.
Yep.
Right? Birch bark, big thingy the Voyageurs use. The Montreal canoe, 11 meters or 36 feet, up to 14 passengers. Plus all the gear, the supplies, the furs, the, you know, all that sort of stuff they had to carry as well. Then there's the Jort Spring boat, 20 meters, 65 feet, 20 passengers. And you got to think, if they're a raiding party,
they
got their swords and their spears and their bows and arrows and their shields and their all that raiding party.
So they're not carrying the gear they're carrying would be food and weapons.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah.
So you're not fitting 80 people in there, unless you leave the food and weapons
unless
out.
Unless you're really tight, unless you're just like this, if there was 80 people on board this thing, you're not going very far.
And you're sinking.
Potentially, yeah.
So what else brought me to this is, Tracy's a big Outlander fan. She watched the shows. But two of the guys, Graham McTavish and, can never remember the main guy's name from Outlander. They did a thing called Men in Kilts, a TV show. They went down to New Zealand.
Okay.
And they did a tour, and they do all these little adventure thingies down there and show what it's about. They've done it. They did a couple of these seasons now. And they ended up going to this Maori village, and they talked about the Waka. And that's their big canoe. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of what got me into this aspect after you told me about this, the Jort Spring boat. So the Waka, 40 meters, 130 feet.
That's up, getting you're getting long.
Up to 80 paddlers.
Yes. Now we're
so your little little 65 footer is not holding 80. But the 130 footer will hold 80.
So it's
80.
Double the size.
Yep. Yeah. So 130, you're looking at 80 paddlers on these Waka boats.
Yeah.
So 40 meters, 130 feet. That's a long boat.
Mm.
And you got 80 people all paddling in unison.
Trying to steer.
That's awesome. Then you got the snake boat.
These are long.
In India, right? And they're racing. They're
anybody's
racing.
Ever seen this? Like the few times I've seen it, they're trying to go down a canal, and they generally in tight turns they're running into the sides of the shores, running into bridges. There's usually some kid on the nose of the craft, and he's bobbing back and forth like a chicken.
I think that's a newer thing though. doing the dance and then doing the little but these are 100 to 120 meters.
Yeah.
400 foot boat.
How do they see?
90 to 100 rowers.
And they're not more than 10 feet wide.
No, these are thin. These are thin like a dragon boat. They're just long. They're just like a massively long dragon boat.
It's just trying to get as many people in it as possible so you can paddle very fast.
Buggy. They go like stink, man.
They're getting up on a plane.
But the biggest boat I've been able to find, and we talked about this one.
Yes.
L.L. Bean .65 kayaks got together, and they did a 122-meter, a 400-foot, 100-people kayak. And they made it, for the Guinness World Book of Records, out of the modular kayaks. So the modular kayaks you can take apart and fold.
Exactly.
Like, pile so in each other like a, one of those Russian dolls sort of thing.
There's a central pod that you sit in, and then there's a nose and a tail that snaps on or clips on.
So they got all, they got a nose, they got enough pods for 100 people,
and then a tail.
And they went tootling about, and like it worked.
Like a centipede type thing.
400-foot kayak.
That's something.
That's, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of, I can't see them doing that way back in the day. The size of that tree you would need. But even the snake boats, I can't remember what the tree is they use for those. Oh, and I read it specifically, too.
I remember, I can't remember the name of it, but it's
a... But it's a tall tree. But yeah, like even that, like 394-foot tree. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That's a lot of
tree. And then you got to carve it all. You hollow it out, carve it all.
Yeah.
Put all the decorations all up and down the sides. And then some goofus is going to go slam it into the side
break
of the canal because he can't do a 90-degree turn.
It took 80 years to grow that tree.
3 seconds.
And then 3 years to carve it out and hollow it out. And you just wrecked it in 3 seconds.
Way to go, Jim. I don't know who Jim is, but I'm blaming him for everything today.
Blamed for everything tonight. Yeah.
He's getting blamed for everything. So, yeah, those are the big boats. Dragon boats, Montreal canoe, Jort spring boat, the Waka, the snake boat, and the L.L. Bean Endpoint 65 kayaks, big 400-foot kayak. It's kind of neat when you're seeing that sort of stuff, though. I mean, the L.L. Bean .65 one was a bit of a publicity gimmick thing.
Yeah.
But the Montreal canoes, the dragon boats, the Wakas, they were all used for real things, for lack of a better term, right? But
yeah, if you want to get a laugh, you want to just Google
0.65
kayak and just LLB, go to Google images.
But if you want to see cool stuff, Google snake boat racing. Like you'll just be going watching next. You'll be on YouTube for all. That's a rabbit hole you don't want to go down. But that's pretty cool.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. So anyway, those are the big boats. Do we talk about something else later historically with boats or something? Maybe not. Alrighty. Hey, if you are going to Lake Mead over the holidays, Lake Mead Mojave Adventures is bringing back the popular holiday tradition, rafting with Santa. I suppose our tradition, drinking with Santa. This joyful 12-mile journey down the Colorado River with Hoover Dam Rafting Adventures combines the wonder of the holidays with the awe of the outdoors. Guests will see majestic canyon walls, sparkling water, and the holiday cheer of Santa and his merry crew. This event is something for guests of all ages. If I'm paying money for this, those crew better be dressed as elves. That's all I'm saying, and there better be a present involved.
Gosh darn it.
Rafting with Santa will run Wednesday, December 17th, which was yesterday, through Sunday, December 21st, and again on Christmas Eve. Costs $100 for an adult, $88 for children.
Wow.
There are also group bundles. Well, don't forget where you're going, too,
right? I know.
So it's going to be pricey. Family bundle, $250 for 3 guests, 2 adults and a child. Children ages 4 and under are free. If I'm going, I'm finding like people with 6 kids under 4. Can I borrow your kid? Because me and 15 kids under 4. Add-ons. Additional adult is $99, so you get a buck off. Additional child, $75. Couple special. Derek, you and Siobhan could go down there.
Yeah.
$199 for 2 adults to hang out with Santa and his elves going down the Colorado River, baby. Adult and child deal, $175 for 1 adult and 1 youth. So you save like $10 almost. So yeah, if you're out Lake Mead way going to Vegas, then check that out. This was kind of disturbing because we were passing back and forth some videos and stuff about what's going out, like out in Washington State there. with the floods and the
yes.
big waterfalls. I mean, part of you thinking, like, if you are massive into white water, right now you'd be in your glory out there.
Or but, maybe not.
Yeah. But on the other, you know, that's only part of your thought. Too much water. The other part of the thought is you're looking at what's happening out there with the floods and, you know, people losing their homes and,
yes.
and stuff like that. So, when you see things like that happening, you start to think, you know, what are people going to do to help out? Then this thing comes out, what's going on out there, and you're thinking, how low can some people go?
I know. It's terrible.
Brazen thieves have been taking advantage of the killer floods in Washington by kayaking to waterlogged homes and looting them.
Yeah.
How low do you have to sink in life to be doing that?
I know, right? Like,
really? Historic rainfall in rural areas close to Seattle have left one person dead, turned roads into rivers, washed bridges away, and triggered the evacuation of 78,000 residents. Snohomish County Sheriff's Office deputies are investigating allegations that thieves have raided evacuated properties.
That's unfortunate.
That is, you know what? To say it's unfortunate is such an understatement. Like, I don't even know.
I can't swear.
Yeah. Where's Alan's swear jar? It's about to be filled. I can't believe that.
Hmm.
You know, and we're watching some of these, and you're getting videos of these bridges just all of a sudden
collapsing and gone.
All
the dead trees piling up against the bridges, and the Snohomish waterfall is normally very small, and it's massive cataract right now.
Yeah, it's huge. One marooned resident broke down in tears as she described seeing people climb onto the roof of her home to scour the area for potential looting. People are coming from all over the area just to take advantage of these people who can't get to their properties right now, and it's just heartbreaking. They had kayaks out here, but they were taking stuff from trailers in boats with motors on them.
Wow.
So we'll go scout the area in our kayaks and then come wave back. You in with the boat.
Yeah.
And we'll load up the boat and off you go.
Hmm. That's unfortunate.
Like, it leaves you speechless.
But when people are
kicked, and at this time of year too,
yeah. When I mean, people I'm not are a big kicked and they're down. Why do you want to cause more pain today?
I mean, I'm not a huge Christmas fanatic, but
Christmas
time, like, come on.
Like the sense of violation of somebody breaking in your house because you're not there and nothing you can do about it because you can't even get back.
You can't even get to your house. Flooding. Spokeswoman Courtney O'Keefe said deputies intercepted five young men kayaking in the area and asked them to leave after neighbors raised concerns. The men returned later and began yelling at neighbors and crossing beyond the road closed sign. O'Keefe said homeowners who were boating to the properties ran into the alleged thieves. Said the boat bandits were armed with spray paint and had rope which appeared to have been stolen from a nearby farm.
Why spray paint?
Maybe to
identify the houses.
The house you might want to go, or just graffiti.
Yeah.
They confronted the suspects. One of them threw the rope to the owner's boat, and the group then left. Farm owners observed their crane had been vandalized with pink spray paint.
There's the spray paint.
Deputies are currently working to identify the suspects involved in the incident. O'Keefe said the alleged thieves did not know the homeowners. So, yeah, they're just out there to...
It wasn't targeted. It was opportunity.
Nope, it was opportunity. It comes as the Snohomish River surged recently near a foot, 30 centimeters higher than its record in the scenic city. Meanwhile, meteorologists have warned that further misery is on the way for residents with even more rain forecast over Washington and the Pacific Northwest. I think you were saying BC's getting hammered,
British Columbia's getting it, too. So, it's, I haven't seen much of it in the news, but I don't think many of us watch conventional news anymore.
No.
But, it took me a surprise because I had heard something about flooding in, near Vancouver and in lower mainland BC and stuff like that. And there was a lapse in the weather, and then the weather reports come in and it's like there's an atmospheric river is returning to the area, and it's going to be devastating for Washington State and British Columbia.
Wow.
It's with the atmospheric river. They've had it a couple times in the last decade, and it just the rain just it just keeps falling. It keeps picking up water from the ocean, and it just keeps dumping water.
Yeah, and they're getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Dozens of roads are inundated or washed out across the state, some of which had no detour or estimated time for reopening. Mountainous section of US 2 was closed due to rocks, trees, and mud, while a large section of State Route 410 was closed because water covering the roadway, and they're being kept on, looked at by the State Transportation Department.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like I say, you're looking at all the devastation, all the stuff happening, and then you see a story like this.
Yeah.
How low do you really need to sink?
Yeah, it kind of breaks your heart.
You know what? There's we joke, not really joke, but just saying, you know what? Like humanity is just
garbage.
Going in the crapper these days, and you see something like this, and it's just sort of, to those people that try to be pessimistic all the time, sometimes it's really hard to be there.
It is.
You know? This one's entitled, The Artist and the Spy. Dun, dun. For those that are into real crime documentaries and stories, going to read this one out because I found this. And then you can do more research into it.
I've seen it pop up a few times in the last little while, and there's been some back and forth about it. And it's kind of interesting. It's...
It is. It's
interesting. It's also got some tragedy,
yep.
And some hooliganism by certain countries.
Well, and this is cut down a lot. Mm. There's more out there.
It's a big story.
But yeah, there's a lot. That's why I said I'm going to give you a little
taste. Yeah, a little taste. You have to find the rest yourself.
A wee little taste of this, and then you can go find out the rest yourself. A man who spent a decade and a half working as a Chinese spy has shared details of some of his missions, including what he knows about a Chinese dissident who died in BC in 2022.
So this is three years ago.
Yeah. From 2008 to 2023, my real job was to work for China's secret police. It's a means for political repression, says Eric, in quotes.
So they gave him a false name.
Who was interviewed in the suburbs of Melbourne, Australia. Its main targets are dissidents who criticize the Chinese Communist Party. This, like, just this alone sounds like a movie.
Yeah, it's like a book, yeah.
This September. Theaters near you. For 15 years, Eric worked for the first bureau at China's Ministry of Public Security, a unit that specializes in surveillance of dissidents abroad. He previously told the Australian Broadcasting Corp that he spied on a Japanese-based cartoonist and a YouTuber exiled in Australia. Often, he said, his cover was working for real companies in the countries where he was deployed, companies that collaborated with China's secret police. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
2020, Eric said he was tasked with snooping on a dissident named Hui Yong, an artist and hardcore opponent of China's Communist Party, who eventually ended up in BC's Sunshine Coast. Welcome to Canada, my friend.
Yes.
After staging a protest in Tiananmen Square in Beijing in 2012, Hui was arrested and sent to a re-education labor camp. He was eventually released, but arrested again in 2017 for documenting mass evictions in a working-class Beijing neighborhood. March 2020, Hui was in exile in Thailand. Eric said Chinese authorities wanted him captured, but they felt he was out of reach there. So Eric's handler instructed him to lure Hui to Cambodia or Laos, countries that have close ties with China. But they're not saying how he was arrested in 2017, but then ended up in Thailand. How was he exiled? I guess he went to court and they said, get out.
Well, he's doing a lot of moving around. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the story that's missing because we're paring it down for size. But like when you read some of the other stories, it does describe that he was kind of sort of always on the run. Because after he spent 2017 in the labor in the re-education labor camp, that was in 2012.
12, yeah. Then he was rearrested in 2017.
So he's been hopping around different places, right?
Eric says he talked with his bosses about different ways to entice Wei to another country where China's secret police could get at him. Ultimately, Eric came up with a strategy. He started chatting with Wei on social networks, then moved to encrypted messaging apps. In a conversation on the app Telegram, which I don't think young kids are using these days, Eric suggested they set up a resistance group and try to build a following. To gain Hui's confidence, Eric invented a fake anti-communist rebel group called V Brigade and started posting about it on social media.
Completely invented.
In a video posted to YouTube in September 2020, Eric is wearing a three-hole balaclava and camo and is seen firing blanks. He announces, "Hello everyone, I'm here with the V Brigade to introduce today's topic, how to individually prepare for armed revolution and armed struggle." The ruse worked.
Yes.
Dun, dun. "This is awesome," Wei wrote to Eric, as the two became revolutionary comrades and even met up in Bangkok at one point. But in early 2021, the Chinese secret police lost track of him. A brief scramble ensued. Eric reported to his handlers that he'd appeared to have gone to Turkey and then Paris. Like you say, he's on the run. Then on April 6th, Wei posted on social media that he was in Canada. He invited Eric to join him and became the spokesperson for a revolutionary group.
He doesn't sound like he's a good candidate to immigrate into Canada.
You would think. Eric's handlers ordered him instead to return to China and keep tabs on his target from afar. Wei ended up moving to Gibson's, B.C. That's where Beachcombers. Good old Nicodonidus. Where he took up crab fishing and kayaking. His own social media posts show this. In the fall of 2022, Hui was out paddling when his kayak was nearly capsized after a luxury yacht passed near him.
Total coincidence.
Mm-hmm. For him, this was a mere accident. But to me, it looked like an orchestrated murder.
So this is the words of the Eric guy.
No.
Oh, no?
Says Li Zhangfeng, a former judge in China, who also served prison time there before being granted refugee status in Canada.
Okay, why are they? I guess they're refugees, so maybe that's the way.
That's why they're coming in here as refugees. Li said he helped Wei escape to Canada. The plot thickens.
Yes. Starting to clarify.
A couple weeks later, November 25th, 2022, Wei went out for another paddle, but this time, he didn't come back.
Stop being so dramatic.
Well, it's dramatic! It's true crime! After a night of searching, his body was found along the shores of an island off the Sunshine Coast. The RCMP saw no foul play at the time, but the force didn't appear to know then that Hui was in the crosshairs of a covert operation by China's secret police.
Mm-hmm. And we've heard a bit of this back and forth. There's a lot of bad actors, bad countries. So this is one of those groups that are working within Canada. And they work within the States.
Yeah, they work everywhere.
Yeah.
"I fully understand the modus operandi of the Chinese Communist Party," Li told Radio Canada in an interview, referring to his former job in China's justice system. "They would stage an accident to murder someone. Yes, I don't have direct evidence to prove this murder."
Hmm.
But this sounds like something I've seen on
TV.
Or in the theater.
Yeah.
Li said he put together a dossier with several different leads and sent it to the RCMP.
A dossier?
A dossier. I like dossiers. Guy Saint-Jacques, Canada's former ambassador to China, said no possibility should be excluded.
And it shouldn't be.
"China's regime has no shame and doesn't hesitate to use brutal means to attain its objectives." This is sounding like one of those, like, 10-part Netflix specials.
Yes.
Welcome to Netflix. After several failed attempts to flee China, Eric finally succeeded in 2023. The former spy wanted to go to Canada to claim asylum, but ended up in Australia because he was able to get a tourist visa.
Mm.
The world has a right to know what China's secret police are up to, Eric said, adding that revealing in publicly actually buys him a measure of protection.
Yeah, it's out in the open. Everybody's aware of him,
right?
It's a little bit safer from being assassinated.
Well, but yeah, and if something happens to him,
mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
What a coinkydink.
I told you China was going to kill me.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the police investigation to Wei's death isn't officially closed because 3 years later, the BC Coroner's Service still hasn't completed its report, which normally takes about 16 months. Eric said he has had no contact with Canadian police, but that he did confidentially send some documents to the Hogue Commission, Canada's public inquiry into foreign interference. There are some strange aspects to this case that demand further investigation, he
and
said.
Clearly, there's more there than
meets the eye.
Well, speaking of... So normally BC's Coroner Service, when they do the reports up, it normally takes about 16 months.
Uh-huh.
So less than a year and a half. And they're still sitting on this
3 years later.
Coroner's report from 3 years later. So double, uh-huh. More than double the time later. So they're sitting on something. Or it's an active open investigation. They're not going to release any findings or details until they can have a conclusion or some sort of result, right?
Hmm. Spy versus spy.
Yes.
Conspiracy theories.
Well, China's
saying set your reminders on Netflix because this is coming to TV soon.
China has been getting in trouble out in BC. They keep setting up all these little Chinese government police stations in like old stores and banks and stuff out in Vancouver. And
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're monitoring their own citizens that have come to Canada to get away.
The dissidents.
From that. Yes. And mm-hmm. So.
And then they run them over with boats while they're out enjoying the kayaking.
Run them over with boats,
day.
Run them over with cars, have an accident.
Right.
It's not the country you want to cross.
Maybe you shouldn't have eaten that puffer fish whole.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't understand why you ate that whole puffer
fish. If someone throws a lionfish at you, don't catch it.
Mm-hmm. True. Very sure.
Well, honestly, he went to Calgary to pet the bison.
Hmm. Yes. He should have known better.
Was that movie, A Thousand Ways to Die in the West?
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah. Well, apparently these guys don't.
Yeah.
But they're taking good ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I came across that. Now, all I can think of is this real or is this like a movie that we just haven't heard of yet?
Yeah, I know, right?
That's coming out.
It does sound like a good movie.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not a good movie.
But it sounds like it's like, oh, it's so cheesy.
Yeah. When I'm looking through the credits, Jason Statham is not in there.
Yes, exactly.
Neither is The Rock or any of those other guys.
But, you know, somebody's going to try and make a movie out of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It's happening, buddy.
Yeah. And just in case people are wondering, hey, if in case you missed it halfway through or one third of the way through that story, he died in a kayak. So it is topically appropriate for the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's all I saw.
Just to clarify.
That's what they all, that what the big headline was.
Yeah.
Chinese ex-spy talks about kayak death.
Yeah.
And that, oh, really? So, yeah.
I don't think it was innocent. I think something nefarious happened.
It was the Russians, I'm telling you.
They do.
And they're blaming it on the Chinese.
They do walk in the same circles.
Right? Right? Yeah, so you just got to follow this one up. Do your own little rabbit hole venture. Just follow it on and see what happens, where it takes you, where it leads you. And then send us lots of curse words because you're going to hate us for it.
Yeah.
You guys started me on it.
Honestly,
I called in sick to work 4 times this week.
Honestly, the problem is social media.
Yeah.
It lets people of like-mindedness. Flat Earth theory be gone if it wasn't for social media.
No, that's cool, though. There's people that are writing these real crimes and, stuff like that
true.
Espionage. Yeah. And so this just gives them that little extra nudge to, as we're entering into the we cannot longer paddle season. This gives you something to do. So come spring, you should be ripper and ready to go, know who did what on this big whodunit, and be ready to get into those boats and start paddling again.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, of course, here's a segue for you. You're kayak fishing because motors are just about required for any serious angler who fishes from a kayak these days.
Have you seen some of these fishing kayaks?
Oh, massive. Yes. Way too much. When we, last time I was at Canucopia, even. Like, there's boats. I don't even know that I would call them kayaks.
Oh, I know. Like, it's sort of a sit-on-top giant. Well, anybody who knows them. But I've tried one before. It's like, it's very stable.
Yeah.
It's very stable. Yeah. It's not like stepping into a canoe or trying to get into a kayak.
It's not your granddaddy's kayak, is all I'm saying.
No. So like anybody who's new to it and has tried to get into a canoe or kayak at the edge of a dock, it's like, racks.
Now,
foot on center line. This one here, you can stand on the edge practically.
When you look at these bass boats out there.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just throwing up that rooster tail behind them.
Built like a bullet.
And they're ripping from one fish hole to the next to the next to the next when they're doing these fishing tournaments.
Yeah.
You can see why these kayakers want that extra speed. Yeah. You're not getting close to that because if your kayak's going that fast.
Yes.
I don't know what kind of motor you got on there.
Yeah.
But being
towed by a bass boat.
Yeah. Speed at which kayak anglers can get from point A to point B with a motor has significantly reduced travel time on the water, while thankfully a kayak angler's range has exponentially increased. So they're with the speed getting from point A to point B, they're able to fish more water. They're not going to beat a bass boat for the amount of spots they can fish in a day.
Exactly.
But they're not the slowest on the water anymore either. Tournament kayak anglers are left in the dust without a battery-powered motor propelling them. Basically, four ways to propel your kayak: paddle, pedal, sail, or electric motor.
Yes.
Most kayaks have the ability to use all four methods to travel on the water, but anglers generally don't incorporate a sail into their fishing platforms. For this guide, which they're... I was getting this out of, we'll focus on the best fishing kayak motors available in 2026. So I'm going to list them a little later what they are, but there's some other stuff they were talking about. For kayak motors, 2025 was a year for the record books. Several companies entered the modular small craft propulsion market. Whew, there's a fancy term.
modular small craft propulsion market.
Which means plenty of options for anglers in 2026. Minn Kota already sold small motors with selected boats. Now has a one-size-fits-most.
One-size-fits-most, yes.
Yeah. Power pole downsized its Move ZR for kayak and skiff anglers with another option. Garmin modified the popular Force trolling motor to create a bow mount Force Current. Old Town now offers an EPDL Plus retrofit for any of its kayaks that were pedal-powered in the past. And there's also a jet motor available now, concealed inside the hull of the Flux Jet kayak.
An e-pedal?
Mm-hmm.
So it's
electronic assist.
You pedal a bike and there's a little bit of electronic assist.
Since anglers will admit that today's kayaks can be outfitted nearly as well as bass boats, no giant outboards or live wells, but just about everything else, the low cost and turnkey operation of installing an electric motor on a kayak has made it more accessible for the weekend warrior. Kayak fishing inherent physical element has been greatly reduced with electric motors, making it more welcoming than ever for people with disabilities as well as individuals of any fitness or skill level. That's the bonus part of it. Like, you know, people with disabilities.
Exactly.
The elderly who, you know, you got that bum elbow or shoulder. Now you can get this little electric motor and
keep out. The knee that hurts when the bad weather comes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Old football injury.
Yeah.
Joe Camioide, avid kayak angler out of Georgia, says, over the last couple years, I have seen my health decline. I swapped out the pedal drive for a bow mount motor. It was a must for me, unfortunately. Honestly, looking back at the decision, I should have made the swap years earlier.
It gives you a bit of mobility. It's freedom. Like freedom.
To do. Otherwise, what are you doing? Well, I can't go kayak fishing because I can't do what I used to do. Yeah. So I'm going to sit on the dock in my chair and just watch other people do it.
Exactly.
Right? So yeah, there is the good parts of it. With the advent of lighter and more efficient batteries, kayakers can stay on the water longer and even travel more miles during a trip. The kayak enthusiast can carry plenty of power with modern lithium batteries that are much lighter than their lead-based counterparts. Just a few short years ago, kayak anglers talked about the best paddles and or pedal drives to cover more water. Now, most conversations are about how fast a motor can propel our kayaks. I will say it right now, me personally, hogwash. I don't think, if it's a kayak, it shouldn't have a motor.
It's, well,
that's just me, a purist. It shouldn't have a motor. Same with a canoe.
I'm fine with people doing that, but I don't think it should be about speed.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a time and place for it, but, and I, again, you know, this is a personal thing. They're out there doing these tournaments and they're out there trying to stay out on the water from that. I can see that. But for me, no, I wouldn't. Not me. Nebraska kayaker Tyler Alexander only uses his motor to move spots as quickly as he can. Time is money when fishing bigger water tournaments, and the motor helps me cover more water. So if that's your livelihood, I can see why you do it. Fully agree you can do it. But for recreational people, the majority of recreational, no. don't get me started on double blades with canoeing.
I had to look up Nebraska. It's like, Nebraska, they don't have water.
Nebraska's a desert. They don't have water. There are even some anglers who have installed not only a stern mount motor, but also one near the bow with a spot lock system. Most tournaments do not allow DP or dual power motors on the kayak, primarily due to the compromised safety of the extra weight. Power options are no longer limited. They're a piece of cake for do-it-yourselfers. If you feel comfortable rigging your own wiring, it's a job easily completed in your garage in one afternoon. Plus, it's a fishing platform that allows anglers of all stripes to get on the water.
Very good.
So, in this this article by Wired to the number 2 Fish, they have their picks for 2026. The best bow mount trolling motor, the Minn Kota Kayak Terova. The best stern mount kayak motor, the Garmin Force Current. Best crossover, Power Pole Move PV. Best conversion, Old Town EPDL plus retrofit. Best innovative kayak motor is the Flux Jet motor.
That would be interesting.
Best purpose-built kayak motor is the Newport NK300. So those are their six top ones for 2026.
Yep.
So if you're into kayak fishing and stuff, and you're thinking about an engine or a motor, you might want to check one of these ones out. The belle of the ball at the 2025 ICAST was the FlexJet kayak, winning Best of Show honors. And if you're wondering why a kayak is mentioned in an article about motors, the FlexJet is the first kayak with a jet motor built inside the hull.
Oh, it's integral.
Mm-hmm. No running cables or mounting motors on the back of this one. With variations up to 60 volts, this boat can go upwards of 6.5 miles per hour. Well, when I'm hearing jet motor,
expect faster than that.
I'm thinking 0 to 60 in 20, you know, like 3 seconds. There's an intake grate specifically designed to keep vegetation and other debris out when fishing super shallow, and integrated navigation lights, deck lights, and a USB charging port all come standard. There's even an LED screen that tells you how much battery you have left. With the built-in motor, this is the most boat-like 11-foot kayak on the market. Unfortunately, it's already backordered well into the spring. So if you're thinking about getting somebody one of these for Christmas, ain't happening.
Need deep pockets.
Features. Weighs 88 pounds.
Yeah, that's heavy.
6+ mile per hour max speed. 720 minutes of maximum run time. 1,000 watts of power. That's impressive. But when you're talking about a decked out kayak with a motor and everything, 88 pounds?
Well, have you seen some of the...
Our new whitewater kayaks are 100.
Yes, and I was thinking about that. And so it's clearly with no fishing gear because as I've seen on multiple videos, these guys have like, you know, usually 6 rods ready to go at any time.
Right.
There's like a cooler and there's another cooler for a live well. And then there's
sandwiches.
The gear and the tackle boxes, food, and you name it, GPSs and everything, GoPros on post. It's like, oh, he's reaching 150 pounds there. So,
And then you add a couple hundred pound big dude fishing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
It is 132 inch by 35 inch wide, 12 inches high, capacity up to 400 pounds, underseat utility slot for your choice of battery, transducer ready, adjustable foot pegs for steering, front hatch and rear tank well storage, modular accessory rail, which a lot of people put a whole bunch of stuff on those. Molded handles for easy carrying. I ain't carrying that. deck and nav lights included. So when you start looking at all these things that are included, no wonder it's 88 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
USB, USB-C charger built in. If I was going to get into... kayak angling, something like this would be up my alley.
Yeah,
except it takes when you hear the word jet powered, and you're looking at 6 miles an hour. No, I want a rooster tail behind me and somebody water skiing.
I want to be sucking up and shooting out bass.
When I'm trolling, that lure is ripping the lips off that largemouth. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to have a lure with 12 pairs of bass lips. Just going to mount those on the wall. There's all these bass lips on these little plaques.
I think we're reaching into a different realm here.
Oh, it's huge. These are the guys that are out there making a living at this or trying to.
Or something. Yeah. It's like they're some people really rely on the technology side of it to keep them entertained. I'm more of a just me and my canoe and a casting rod, and I just want to, you know, see how practice casting, because really I'm not catching anything, but I'm practice casting.
I got video that says otherwise and a paddle that almost ended up in the back of your head. I don't catch anything. Oh, look at this. Is this like a 5-pound trout?
That was big.
Right?
I thought it was a boot.
Yeah, I was hoping it was a
boot. It wasn't fighting.
Yeah, these guys are definitely, like I say, I mean, you know what, there's the bad, the majority of people that are using these motors for mobility purposes and stuff
exactly,
like that.
Exactly, 100%.
They're not going jet boat.
Yeah.
Right? So,
and it's an opportunity to, you know, use their abilities that they do have to get out there and do something that they couldn't normally do.
Exactly. For the do-it-yourself enthusiasts, there are also ways to modify a boat trolling motor for a kayak, saving hundreds of dollars. One must also consider whether or not a motor is the right solution for your kayak. Some yakkers might be pushing the limits of weight capacity at some point, especially with the larger batteries and accessories. Definitely got to take that into account.
Yes. Yep.
Basically, two major types of motors that can be installed on a kayak. First would be the outboard style motor, like the Garmin or Newport brands. You're not talking Johnson, Evinrude, Mercury.
No.
These types are much faster, can get you to your favorite fishing spot in a matter of minutes compared to the traditional trolling motor. These trolling motors are very maneuverable, can also keep you in position to make accurate casts. They offer a fair amount of speed, but most importantly, control, which is what you want. Old Town Kayaks has a unique EPDL plus drive, so kayakers can switch among manual power-assisted pedal or fully motorized cruise. These motors offer a quiet kayak experience at speeds about 3.5 to 6 miles per hour, which is the same as the jet boat.
Do any of these speeds, I'm going to have to convert that.
The EPDL Plus Drive conversion kit is a game changer for many anglers who own Old Town kayaks and did not come with the EPDL Plus Drive originally. While many low-cost brands are basically a paddle-only kayak, the Hobie, Old Town, Bonafide, Wilderness Systems, Ascend, Native Watercraft, Crescent, New Canoe, Feel Free, Vibe, and other brands can be easily modified to add an electric motor for added propulsion. Wait a minute. I have a Wilderness System. I change all my previous comments. Get me a motor! Not even.
So I just converted that. 6 miles an hour is about 10 kilometers an hour. That's not too bad. I'd like, typically when I have measured my own paddling speed, like solo, I'm doing about 4. If there's two people in the canoe, it's like you're doing maybe 6 with a tailwind type thing. So that's a 10 kilometers an hour. That's a pretty good pace.
Right. And if you control while you're doing this and have the control, right? You're not having a paddle at the same time. That works, too.
You can have some downriggers.
And and as you're going, too, you can change up lures and stuff. You can do stuff while you're going, too, right? Which is a bonus. We do need to remember that adding a motor also means the responsibility of registering it and adding the required lighting systems as defined in state regulations.
Caught out at night.
This is in the states and that, right?
Yep.
For craft that are powered by motors, there are numerous accessories available that can easily be added to your plastic boat. You also need to add the required decals for your assigned registration number. You should check with the state's guidelines when registering your motorized craft.
Wonder what and the rules are like in Canada for
as
this.
Do you need to add a
license?
A license to all that?
Motorized?
I didn't think so.
I don't know.
And as you add more, your motor, these lighting systems, and all that's all weight you're adding. You know, it's not like free weight. It adds to your capacity.
Exactly. Your speed, your battery run time. You know, if you got a microwave running up front on your kayak off the battery, you're probably not going to say miles.
Right. But as well, if your microwave is 25 pounds, you got to start thinking, well, I better lose some weight. Because, that 25 pounds is bringing us closer to the weight limit of that boat.
I follow this guy. He goes out and he makes some fantastic meals, like really nice meals. But he either canoes or kayaks somewheres, catches a fish, goes to does a shore lunch, but makes a fantastic meal. And I saw him the other day. He was out on his kayak, and he had a hibachi grill and a pot full of oil, and so he deep fried the fish he caught, and
he must be on a lake that you can like park right at.
He was on the ocean, but in a enclosed bay with stones with rocks.
I'm not portaging all that.
it was like he's doing that on a boat. It's right? Like we're talking like he had a naphtha type stove going. You can see the flames. He's deep frying fish right out on the kayak.
Yeah,
it's like, I don't know
about that.
Whoa. Anyways.
Whatever your choice may be for getting to fishing spots faster and more efficiently, the electric motor can be a great asset to saving lots of time on the water to help you keep your line in the water. Power considerations, though. Thrust. Most electric kayak motors range from 30 to 55 pounds of thrust that will easily move a kayak on the water. Most popular choice would be a 30-pound thrust electric motor for most average-sized kayaks. Larger and heavier kayaks, the more powerful 50 to 55 pound thrust motors might be necessary. If you're looking at longer distances and higher speeds, more battery power will be required as well. And don't even get started on headwinds and waves.
Yeah.
And
right?
Speed. If you're looking for speed with an electric motor, most will hit an average of 3 miles per hour. Some will reach speeds of 7 miles, up to 7 miles per hour. Remember that the more speed you create, the faster the battery will drain. Studies have shown that reducing your speed just 20% will increase your range up to 80%.
Yeah.
It is wise not to run at full speed. Consider me not wise, as you might end up stranded far from your launch with a dead battery.
There you go.
And in brackets, that would be Sean. End bracket.
I mean, so, full setup. You're talking, like, depending on what gear you have and the watercraft and what drive motor you have, or, like, I'm guessing you're in the $10,000 to $15,000 range.
I've got to be thinking, though, a lot of this is, like, that's what you do.
It's got
to
be.
You're hoping to become a rich professional.
No.
Kayak
this
fisherman.
This is a serious hobby.
This is a serious, serious thing hobby. For you. I mean, you look at these guys with the bass boats and that's what they do.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Like the Bass Pro tournaments and all that. You just go from tournament to tournament to tournament. And we know a couple people that do that. They go all these tournaments. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, if you can get the... I mean, if you could do that for a living...
You're investing in it.
Yeah, you're definitely investing in the bigger gear, the more expensive gear, to get you those... You know, if there's 10 fishing... holes on the lake, you want to hit all 10 of those as fast as you can. You don't want to get through 4 of them by the end of the day, right? Because the better chance is if you hit all 10.
Yeah. I'm doing a fish and poker run.
Yeah. So if this helps. But again, when it comes to the this jet boat one, if you're just using a motor to get out on the water because you, like I say, got a bum shoulder or something like that, that's overkill.
It is. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess you got to go with what will work for you.
What
and,
fits.
And whatnot.
Your needs and your financial situation.
It's not for everybody.
No.
Like I say, definitely not for me. But, yeah, if you feel that you can't get out there and you still want to and this is an option, go for it. Christmas is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And say, I want money for Christmas this year.
I want money.
Everybody give me money instead of gifts because that way I can pool that money and get myself something to get me out on the water next year. That's what I do. I tell everybody, like, okay, there's something I want at Sail or Mac or wherever, Bass Pro. I said, I want this. It's going to cost me X amount. So give me cash or give me gift cards for that so that I can afford that.
Yes.
Right? Because that's the whole thing with Christmas is, well, what do you need? Well, I don't really need anything. What do you want? Well, what I want, I don't have because I can't afford it. And I can't afford it. I don't expect you to be affording it. So everybody gang up. Give me a bucket load of cash so I can go there next spring and buy it for myself. And then you can all watch me use it and be happy and ecstatic. Good times.
Absolutely.
Good times. But I'm not buying a kayak motor. Or a double-bladed paddle for my canoe.
Yeah.
Other than that...
I think we nailed it.
We nailed it. For all you crime followers...
Yes, yeah.
Go check out the artist and this Chinese spy. Dun-dun. You got anything else?
I do not.
Nothing, huh?
No, I'm just thinking about my ride home and in limp mode in my car trying to get up to speed on the highway.
I'm trying to think if we're going to actually... Next Tuesday... Yeah, we can record the next couple of weeks.
Yes, we got to get together and figure that out.
We don't have to skip it. See, our streak continues.
Mm-hmm.
We're almost at 10 years,
hey? Yes, we are. We're getting close.
We're at like 11 years.
We're 2 months away.
A month and a half, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Woohoo. Oh, no, yeah. Today's just, Yeah, 2 months. Almost exactly 2 months.
Mid-February.
Dun, 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 dun. And, yeah, the beginning of February is going to be our last show, so we don't make 10 years. I can't wait till their 10th anniversary. And thank you for listening.
And
this is our last show. We're done. Son of a... All righty. Well, if you want to find out more about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can download or stream our episodes on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Player FM, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or you can go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com to stream or download all our episodes. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with your friends, family, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week, I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.